and peace and love be multiplied. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. The book of Joshua is one of the most entertaining books in the Old Testament. It's often been said that Joshua is the Old Testament Ephesians, and Ephesians, of course, is the New Testament Joshua. Joshua becomes the leader of the children of Israel, who have been brought out of Egypt under Moses. Moses now has passed on, and Joshua has been chosen of God to be the successor to this great man of God, who could not go into the land because he had sinned, and smiting the stone more than one time, and thusly God stopped him from being able to go into the land. He said, "I'll let you see it, but you can't go in." And God took him to the top of the mount and let him see the land that he had promised to the children of Israel, and did not go in. God killed him there on the mountain and buried him, and no one knows where he was buried, which was probably a good thing, because the children of Israel, being who they were, would probably have made a god out of the place.
Yes.
And missed God 1,000 miles.
Sir.
But Joshua comes on the scene. By the way, let me give you a little something here that will help you when you study the scriptures. Moses is a type of the law. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. Yes. Same name, by the way.
Yes.
Yeshua. Joshua. Jesus. Same name. And the law can only bring you inside of salvation. Can only let you see what it's like.
Yes.
But you'll never step into salvation observing the law.
Right.
Joshua, taking the place of Moses as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, leads us then into salvation.
Yes.
And allows us to enjoy the good things that God has for us. My favorite verse of scripture in the whole Bible is found here in this chapter, chapter number 1. If I've ever signed your Bible, if you'll check it, you'll find that underneath it I put Joshua 1:9. This is my favorite passage of scripture in all the Bible. I want you to hear me as I read it, and then I'll try to make some comments on it tonight, and we'll go to the house in about a couple of hours. Verse number 9, chapter 1. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest."
Yes.
Now, this verse is found actually a couple of other times as God commissions Joshua, but never exactly like this. I want us to look at some things tonight and kind of get us up to this point, if we may. Joshua was about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But in chapter number 3, they are standing beside the Jordan River. And the scripture says that the Jordan River at that time of the year, the time of harvest, has overflown its banks. So they're not looking at a small river. They're looking at a raging river.
Yes, sir.
And for some reason or the other, God has them there for 3 days looking at that river before he takes them across. Now, 3, of course, you know, is the number of deity, the number of the Trinity, but it's also the number of the resurrection. And it may be that God is just letting them understand that there may be some disappointments, but there's coming a day of resurrection. So they watch the water as it flows. And if I know anything about humanity, I would say that they were saying, how in the world are we going to get across that river?
Yeah.
There are no bridges. There are no boats. How are we going to get across this raging river? And then God meets with Joshua and says to him, here's how it's going to happen. The priests are going to carry the ark. And when their feet touch the brink of the water is going to stand up.
Yes.
Now, if you're looking at that where they are, the water stands up to their right on a heap, the scripture says. And the waters below just continues to go on and dries out. And so here is this heap of water to their right. And the Ark of the Covenant goes into the middle of the river. And the priests stand there until all of the children of Israel pass over on dry ground. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
God did the same thing for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt.
Right.
A bit different in the motion, but nonetheless, they went across on dry land. And so they come through one obstacle. Now let me say this tonight. When things come up in our lives, they are either obstacles or opportunities.
Right.
God help us to make what we're going through tonight an opportunity rather than an obstacle.
Yes.
We can allow it to be either. It all depends on you and me. Whatever we want to make it. Let's make it an opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
The children of Israel saw this river as something that they could not pass over. They didn't see how God was going to work this thing out. But rather than an opposition, Joshua sees it as an opportunity. He knows that God now is going to magnify himself, and God as well is going to magnify Joshua in the eyes of the children of Israel. But then there is another opposition that comes before them. And that's the town of Jericho.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to give you the history of Jericho tonight. We'd be here for the rest of the night just talking about that. But Jericho is a great city. And it is a border city. It's built to defend the border of the land of the Canaanites.
Right.
And if this city falls, then guess what's going to happen to the rest of the cities? Because this is their major city. This is the fortress city, if you will. And as the children of Israel look at it, they see it as something insurmountable. They don't see it as an opportunity. They see it as opposition to them being able to take the land. But Joshua sees it another way. Because God has promised him. Now with that in mind, let's go back to this verse. Have not I commanded thee, speaking to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Several things in this verse I want us to look at. First of all, I want you to look at the commander. The commander is the Lord God Almighty. He declares himself to be the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now God said to Joshua, Moses is dead. Now it's your turn. You step into the traces and you now are to lead the children of Israel. God promises him victory. And Joshua moves from chapter 1 into chapter 2, chapter 3, and all the rest as a victorious individual. Because God has already promised him the promised land.
Yes.
You're going to win the battles, big guy. So get out there and let me show you what I can do. That's exactly what God is saying to him.
Yes.
I'm going to magnify myself and I'm going to magnify you in the eyes of the children of Israel. Then the commandant, Joshua. Joshua was quite an individual. It was Joshua and Caleb, if you remember, who came back from the spy trip and brought a good report. They said, we can do it. The rest of them said, we can't. Now, this is 40 years ago.
Right.
40 years have passed. And now Joshua becomes the leader of the children of Israel. He's the one that's going to take them over the river. Here's the man that has grown up at the feet and the knee and the side of Moses.
Yes.
He knows God firsthand. He knows the glory of God firsthand. By the way, there's something we need to learn, especially as we open the book of Joshua, something we need to learn. God never separates his glory from the good of his people.
Yes.
Every time God's glory is expressed and manifested in the scripture, it is in order to be a blessing to his people.
Yes.
That'd be a great thing for us to remember.
Yes.
When God manifests his glory in our presence, he's doing that for our benefit. Not his benefit, but for our benefit.
Yes.
When God magnifies his power for the children of Israel and takes them across the Jordan River, thank God he's magnifying himself and being a blessing to the children of Israel. And so Joshua is the one that's being commanded. Now let's look at the command and we can move on. The command is this, be strong. Be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, to the believer says, be strong in the Lord. Paul says to Timothy that he's to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be strong literally means not to be weak. Isn't that deep?
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, you have to go to school a long time to figure that out. Be strong means not to be weak. Don't be a coward. We'll get to that further on down the road as well. But to be strong is not necessarily in muscle strength, but in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know him and to believe him and to trust in him. How do you think Moses went into Egypt, brought all those miracles to pass? It wasn't because of his strength. It was because of the strength of the Lord. And here's what God would have us do. In the midst of our trials, in the midst of this plague, this Chinese plague, God help us to know that there's a God in heaven that still loves us.
Yes.
Still cares for us.
Yes.
Be strong. Let your faith be strong. Let your prayer life be strong. Let your meeting with God be strong. Let your study of the Word of God be strong. Trust the Lord in the midst of all of this. Be strong. Not to depend on muscle, but to depend on the Master. Then he says, be of a good courage. Courage is a learned attribute. You're not born with courage.
No.
You're born as a coward.
Yeah.
And in order to become a courageous individual, you have to go through some things and realize, hey, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Brother Gary was talking about being afraid of the dark when he was a child. I don't know that I've ever been afraid of the dark. But it wasn't because I was born not afraid of the dark. Something had to happen to help me. I've never been afraid of a storm. Remember, when Mammy would keep us, it'd come a storm. My soul, after breakfast, she'd put us under the bed. And one day a storm was coming. She started grabbing us up to put us under the bed. And I said, I'm not going under the bed. I'm going outside. We had a big sweet gum tree out in the front yard. I went out under that big sweet gum tree and just danced around in the rain. had a good time in the storm. She was about to pass out, hollering and screaming and going off. Listen, don't be afraid. Listen, the same God that saved you, the same God that loved you, is the same God that made the storm.
Sure.
How many times have I said that to my wife when I had to fly away somewhere and it'd be stormy? I'd say, God made the storm just like He made the sunshiny days. And God loves me in the storm as well as in the sunshine. I'm not going to let the storm keep me from meeting my appointments. As far as I know, I never did. The only thing that I'd ever put the aircraft on the ground for was because of hail. If I knew there was hail around, I'd put her down. Because when I was in the military, I saw what hail can do to an airplane, and I don't want to ever be there again. Don't fear. Be courageous. A learned attribute from going through many trials and depending on the Lord through the trials. And after a while, we come to the point to know that, hey, this thing's going to go on. We're going to get through this thing. And we're going to look back one day and say, well, how did He do that? As a matter of fact, most of us now have learned that when things like this do come to pass, we look at it and say, how's God going to get us through this?
Yes.
We know He's going through, but how is God going to bring us through this? I'm fearful, and I mean this from my very soul. I'm fearful of what this thing's going to do to this nation. Already, we've seen some despots show up.
Yes.
We've seen some men and some women who think they're bigger than the Constitution of the United States of America.
Yes, sir.
And they're taking freedoms away from people. Freedoms that should never have been taken away from people. I was in a place yesterday. They had masks there on the counter for sale. And I asked the boy standing there, I said, do you make these masks? He said, oh yeah. I said, I got a factory over in China. I'm making this. I said, well, I've looked at these things, and I've looked at you, and now you're the only one ugly enough around here, and I think I ought to wear them. He said, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. Evidently, folks are just trying to cover up ugly.
Yeah.
Because you drive down the highway and meet people with a mask on their face in their car, no one in there but them.
Yeah.
Wait just a minute.
Good practice.
Listen, some people just dropped on their head as babies, and you'll never be able to give them a pill to get them by. That's all there is to it. If I'm ugly enough to where I have to wear a mask driving down the road in my car, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to look at my ugly face. Hello?
Yeah.
Be courageous.
Yes.
Do the right thing. But trust God in the midst of the trial. God will bring us through this thing.
Yes, sir. Yes.
For the fourth thing, be not afraid. Don't dread anything. Do you know that the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that the fearful and the abominable and so on and so forth are going to have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone? How about that? Don't be afraid. Jesus said to the disciples who were going through a storm, this is not the one He was on the ship with, but another. And He came to them walking on the sea.
Yes.
And when they saw Him, they were even more so afraid. They were afraid of the storm. Now they're afraid thinking they've seen a ghost. I guess they think it's a death angel. But Jesus said, fear not. Be not afraid. It is I. In the midst of your storms, I think you'll hear Him say, if you're one of His children, fear
yes.
not. Be not afraid. It is I. I'm here. By the way, He'll be here. And He'll be there. Wherever you are, He'll be a part of your life. Be not afraid. Fear not the unknown. One of the things that we invented, my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, was very inventive, finding things to be fearful of. But what if? But what if? Benny, you'd have grown up being the greatest coward that ever graced the face of this earth if you'd listened to her all the time. Honestly, she'd come up with all kinds of things. And I tell the truth, sweetheart, shake your darling little head, oh yes. Ginger caught a few of those things, but for the most part, we've kind of lived through it and she'd got out of it. But why do we fear the unknown? 99% of the time, the unknown is not necessarily the unknown. It's just the unrecognizable.
Yes.
I may have told you this before. Let me rehearse it again. It's a good place to do it. Years ago, I was but a child. I had my own bedroom. I'd grown up a little bit, and I had my own bedroom. I like to sleep with the windows open, even in the wintertime. More than one time, I've awakened to snow in the floor in my bedroom. But this particular night, I'd come in and hung my clothes on the bedstead. Now, you got to get this post at the bottom of your bed, remember? There's two of them. Some of you have seen them. Some of you never know what I'm talking about. But I hung my shirt and my pants and put my cap right on top of it and went to bed. Somewhere along in the morning, I'm hearing this noise. I wake up and I'm hearing this noise. And I'm wondering, what in the world is that noise? My eyelashes were cold enough to where they were scraping on the pillowcase, and I was hearing it. And the more I thought, what is that, the faster it got. And I moved my head and looked to the foot of my bed, and there stood a man. There he was, big as life, his hat on his head, standing there. And I'm laying there thinking, how am I going to get away from this critter? I had it figured out. Well, I'm going to have to dive out that window. Somehow, I've got to get away from this. And I started moving real slow. Like I was going to get away. And when I moved, it didn't move. It stood there. And when I got my head to where I could really get a glimpse of what it was, I thought, well, that's my clothes hanging on that bed. What am I fearful of? Are you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
We need to not be so fearful of the unknown. Because for the most part, it's just what we don't understand. We don't really know what it is yet, but a little bit of a glance at it another way might show us that it's not the danger it appears to be.
Right.
That's what God's saying to Joshua. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. This word dismayed means terrified. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's what a woman is when she's frightened. But I've seen some men same way. We had a young man on the staff at Nassau. And one day a fellow brought up one of those body movement airplane down there, a little ultralight. And he said, let me fly that thing. Well, he didn't have any better sense than to get in it. And he got in that thing and pushed the throttle forward and it was off the ground before he'd get to the door back there. And as soon as it left the ground, he started screaming like a banshee. Like a woman, screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming. And he managed to get the thing to turn back around and come back toward the runway. Well, all the time he was up there, he was screaming. And when he finally got that thing back on the ground, I thought he was going to pass out. He got out and said, "I hope you was praying, because I couldn't pray. I couldn't do nothing but scream." Now, you can be terrified of things that you bring on yourself.
Yes, sir.
And you can be fearful of things that happen in your life from day to day. I don't think God's telling us not to be instantaneously fearful, but don't live a life that marks you as a fearful, terrified individual.
Right.
Don't be scared of everything that moves. To be frightened is to be independent of God. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
To be frightened is to say, I'm not dependent on God in this case. I'm just going to be scared. Fearfulness, to be terrified, to be less than courageous, is not the mark of a saint of God. Now listen to me. Don't get mad at me. Just listen to me for a minute. When we trust God, fear goes away. Remember what our Lord said in chapter number 14 of the book of John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now you don't have to need to know the rest of that passage whatsoever. You just need to know that the Lord said, don't be troubled. If you believe in me, if you believe in the Father, no need to be troubled about this thing. Don't be worried about it. I meet folks and talk to folks all the time that are just out of their mind about what's going on. And the reason they're out of their mind is because they're believing what the news media is telling them. Now, I'll tell you of a fact, it is that. But I'll tell you of a fact, to this point, the flu is 10 times more dangerous and has killed 10 times more people than this thing has. How about that? The numbers are there. I saw them this week. 10 times more people have died from the flu this season than have died from this thing. But the news media has made this so strong because people get scared of stuff they don't understand, and they're going to keep us scared enough to where they can destroy the economy and get the man in the White House out. That's the whole premise of the matter.
Yes, sir.
Destroy the economy. Get rid of the man that's exposing their stupidity and their laziness and their ungodliness. Hello?
Yes.
Their un-Americanness.
Yes.
And the crowd that's pushing this does not love America. They love themselves. They are self-serving infidels.
Right.
And you're welcome.
Yes.
So don't be terrified. And here's the reason the verse ends like this. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
How about that?
Yes.
Wherever you go, he's with you. That is an amazing promise. Listen to me. If he made that promise to Joshua, I think we can claim that as a child of God. We know that's so because the Holy Ghost has come to move inside of us,
sure.
And he goes where I go.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The reason we're not to be a coward, the reason we're to have courage, the reason we're not to be fearful, the reason we're not to be terrified of the things about us is because the Lord our God is with us.
Yes.
24 hours a day and most nights. Every hour you live, our Lord is with you. If you're a child of God, you can't walk off from him. You can't go where he is not, because he's going with you. Trust him in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the heartaches, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the plague. Trust the Lord. Don't let the things about you disturb you to where you can't keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that does not mean that you're to be an idiot, not take care of yourself in any circumstance. But don't go overboard and act like the world in this thing, because we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe Him, and we know He's with us whithersoever we go.